Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, Tommy, and thank you for welcoming me to the show and hosting us here in your beautiful apartment.
Well, you're very welcome. And can I say so far, you've been nothing but an impeccable guest.
Ah, that's the first time that's ever happened. Usually I'm like dropping trowel and shitting on the floor as soon as I walk in.
Yeah.
Smearing it on the walls.
See, with you, it's the silly season goes the other way. You become a bit more sensible.
Yes.
You become a bit more restrained.
Yes.
And also joining us in my humble abode.
My name's Adam Knox, and can I sleep in your bed? Can I have a shower? Can I have a glass of water? Ah, it's too cold. Can I have a... What's the worst house guest...
Have a bit of porridge.
To do.
Complain about the temperature.
Yeah. Give me two more.
As in what, someone's staying with you? What's the worst thing they could do?
Someone's just come around to visit. They walk into your house. What's the thing they could say first to make you go like, oh, that's a bit rude. What's a rude house guest?
I mean, oh, I'm reminded of, I can't remember who it was, but recently I arrived at someone's house and the person with me immediately asked the host, I'm going straight to the toilet. Is that okay?
I did that when I got here. And I didn't ask if it was okay.
No, that's true.
I said,
I printed it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I said, I'm going to the dunny. Try and stop me.
Yeah, I cleaned it up a little bit for the podcast.
Then I got into wrestling position, expecting you to try and stop me, but nothing happened. So yeah. I just went in there and waited for a while, pretending like I needed to go.
You gathered your thoughts and then came back.
You can do this. All right. Ah, you're a tiger.
But to let you off the hook for that, one could make the argument, we earn money from doing this podcast.
This is work.
So in effect, this then becomes a place of business. Mm-hmm. So it's not unfair of you to think of this place as your office. Now, if you turned up to your office job and went straight to the toilet before doing a single shred of work.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a long train trip or something.
You're getting there in the morning, usually. Like, usually, everyone's taken a few minutes to settle in. The morning meeting isn't for a little bit.
Yeah.
You've got time to run into the toilet. And then you'll see someone you work with and go like, ah, Monday again, huh? And they'll go like...
It's Wednesday, actually.
It will be in 5 days. Mm. But yeah, you haven't been here for 48 hours. What were you expecting? You're like, classic.
But you would...
Classic Garfield.
If this is my office, I should spend the whole episode just scrolling through Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that's all I do at work.
But so you wouldn't feel like, let's say office day, work day starts at 9 o'clock. Let's say you've kind of skated in there 9:02.
Yeah.
And you've got a monster on deck.
Yeah.
You really need to hit the can.
I'm sitting down for 7-8 minutes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
You wouldn't feel like you got to do, let's just like, the first thing I do should be sit at the desk. Just to kind of like let everyone around me register that I did in fact turn up. You can't go
straight
into the dunny.
Turn the computer on.
Sit down, turn the computer on, look at an email and then do a noise. I'm like, right. And like I've forgotten something.
Sure.
And act like annoyed, like, oh, I've already set up and I forgot to do this thing that I had to do before.
Oh, God, the human body, it's such a bother, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then hope that nobody sees where I walk.
Right.
Yes.
Hope that everyone thinks like, oh, he must be going,
he's going to the printer.
Yeah, he's going to the supply closet.
He's going to a meeting. He's got an early meeting with Mr. Porcelain. He's going to drop off a package.
Yeah, we've got a lot to discuss. We're going to have a bit of a brainstorm over how much shit I can take at one time.
But back to your question, what's the worst thing a house guest could do?
Yes.
Now, are we talking a visitor as in... They just come in. Oh, that was your question, Adam.
Yeah,
they just
doesn't
come in.
Matter.
I thought it.
They just come in, as in they're visiting, as in you've just come to hang out at my house for a couple of hours.
I guess
or
so.
Or am I hosting you?
I wasn't that invested in the question, so I don't know. You can make up your own rules.
Well, what question I was going to ask is, what is the worst thing a house guest has done in your humble abode?
We haven't played a lot of games this week. If someone comes in and points that out about your podcast,
okay.
First thing when they get there.
What's the worst thing someone's done in the game House Flipper?
Nothing, because you're not really a guest. You're an employee.
That's true.
What if you come in, okay, this is the worst thing.
Okay.
Thinking someone's coming to visit and then they're like, can I actually stay?
Or
being like, I need to stay for one night, and then it's like a week.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, yes. That's rough.
That's obviously the worst
thing.
That's
brutal. Yes. I feel like if they're staying, if they're a guest, any kind of critique of anything in the house is off limits.
Sure.
Like going, oh, what's with this? And yeah. It's like, you have no
idea. Oh, I keep my
heads
in the freezer. So what? This is my house. I keep my heads where I want.
Yeah, I find that a bit rich.
Sure. Yeah. My girlfriend's mum is staying with her at the moment. Oof. And my girlfriend went to work and then came home, and her mum had repotted all her pot plants.
Whoa!
Because she was like, last time I was here, they weren't looking great. Now they're looking worse.
Wow.
And to be fair, she was like, you're correct.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that is annoying and meddlesome, but in a lot of ways that, you know, parents will meddle.
It's a
mum
thing.
You
yes.
kind of
yeah.
do have to let it go and go, what a pain in the ass job that is. And it's actually kind of cool that I don't have to do that.
And now. The only right. bad thing about that is the embarrassment of being like, yes, I haven't been taking proper care of these plants.
Yeah, yeah. And that yeah. reminder of like, oh, I thought I was a grown up, but my mum is always going to be my mum and sort of treat me a bit like a kid.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Ben, you've got a lot of plants in your house.
Yeah.
What do you think of that fiddle leaf behind you? It really seems to me...
I mean, there's one leaf on the ground.
It's been knocking on death's door for a little while now.
That leaf, the position it's in, looks like it's trying to crawl outside to get help.
It does too. I think I got to get a photo of that.
Someone
so
was around here the other day and they were like, I've really got to say this to you. I've been holding this back for a long time. You got to sort out that fucking fiddle leaf. It's looking really worse for wear.
Plants are nice, but a bad plant looks worse than no plants.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
It's a testament to your inability to keep something alive.
God, it's time, isn't it? It's time to take it to a farm.
Yeah, you got to take it down to its favourite lake, have a pair of shears behind its head that it can't see, be like, shh, it's okay. Just look at the lake.
Well, this is the thing I was wondering. I was like, you know, I do like that style of plants. I was like, I guess I'd just get a new plant.
Yeah,
you know, I'd have to break it to the two of you very gently because you're around here all the time.
Yeah.
And you'd know, you're like, it's like, it's okay. We'll get a new plant. Mm. We'll get a new plant that you guys will enjoy seeing. But then I was like, a plant that big, what do I do with it? Do I just go and put it in the bin of my apartment building?
Yes.
That's how you dispose of it? Just chuck it in the bin?
No, you chuck it. Put it like just in like a mulchy garden in a park or something, right?
I mean, honestly.
Take it down to the park to bury it.
Yeah. I guess. Well, it's not burying it. It's planting it.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't bury a plant.
Wrap it in carpet.
Off you go, boy. Off you go. Run, run out there and join your friends.
I was just going for a jog in the morning and I found this plant wrapped up.
No, I think that's salvageable, honestly. Just don't overwater it. Probably take it away from that window because it might get too much sun.
Yeah.
No, that's like a south-facing window. I reckon it's not getting enough light.
Oh, you reckon? Yeah, maybe it needs a bit of a spell.
Pop it outside for a bit, yeah.
Set it on fire. Hmm? Do you reckon the head of the plant is the bottom or the top? Because the bottom is where the brain is,
where
the roots.
Getting all the nutrients and stuff.
Now, you've leapt to a conclusion that the roots are the brain.
I reckon they are. They're the main part of the plant. I would call my head the main part of my body.
Yeah.
It's the part I'm most concerned about
the
looking
head,
after.
That's the only place any roots are happening for me.
You do a lot of mouth fucking.
That's not what I meant.
Slam dunk, boys.
Yeah, that was the alley-oop.
No, I think that's fair.
I saw a chance to do a segue, and so I was going to do it.
Okay.
You just said the word alley-oop there.
Certainly did.
What did you call alley-oop? Is something that happens in basketball, right?
Yeah, which is a sport.
It is a sport.
Yeah.
Do any of you guys see all that Nintendo stuff that happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced a bunch of games.
Yeah.
Including Sports Story.
Oh.
Is that what it's called?
Yes, it is.
I'm conscious of talking about plants for too long on the video game.
Oh, I think it's pretty relatable.
It is relatable. Everyone knows what a plant is.
Plants versus Zombies. Famous game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That
plant is going to be a zombie soon.
You do. There was some type of plant in Tony Hawk, a something plant.
Yes.
A hand plant?
Maybe.
Yeah, if you did like a hand plant
on
the lip of
a... There's been a number of Simpsons video games.
Yeah.
Homer works at the nuclear power plant.
Oh,
nice. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We're onto something here, boys.
We had a segue. We started a new topic.
And then we somehow segued back into the original topic.
We've recorded like a whole bunch of podcasts in the last few days to release over like New Year and stuff.
Mm.
So I think it might be at the point where we're all actually overanalyzing the form.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I'm very aware.
Yeah.
Holding the mic is tiring to me now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big weekend.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of hot content coming out over the summer break.
We did a Game of the Year episode, and we did a two-parter Games of the Decade, the previous decade.
Not like the upcoming the 2010s. One, yeah.
So that'll all be coming out soon.
Not stuff we're excited about for 2029.
Nah.
No.
Last of Us 2 will be great, though, in 2029.
Yeah.
We'll get delayed again.
Oh. Oh, that cheeky little bugger.
I fucking got him.
But yeah, Sports Story.
Yeah.
The same studio that made Golf Story.
Yeah.
Which I quite like. I like, rather than the follow-up being like...
Golf Story 2?
Just gone general.
I love
all
it.
All of them. Yeah.
It's great. It's like I've frequently sort of bemoaned the fact that Mario Tennis sucked. And I actually loved those sort of casual sports games.
Yep.
And Golf Story was fucking awesome. It was
loved
a great
Golf Story.
Game.
Yep.
So, I don't think I ever ended up playing it, Golf Story. It was like an RPG as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was kind of a riff on the old kind of Game Boy Color Mario
That's
Golf
right.
games.
Like Mario Tennis. Is
Where they would have tournament modes, but then dumb little story in between where you're doing little kind of mini fetch quests. And there's kind of an overworld kind of linking all the... courses together. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was great.
It came out very early in the Switch life cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's probably a fair few people out there that missed out on it, but definitely worth going back in on, and it's probably on sale or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, go and find it, because it's really, really good.
Yeah.
So this is similar setup, but I like just a world where you're going around doing all different sports, right?
That's what it looks like.
The way it's written in, I'm looking at an article on Kotaku kind of recapping. It wasn't like a direct, I don't think, but it was some just Nintendo video about some indie games that are either out now or upcoming on the Switch. It says it's Sports Story, a sequel to the RPG Golf Story, that combines many different sports like baseball, tennis, soccer, and probably more.
Oh.
I like that they've just got, you know, sports. Mm. Baseball, soccer, just list them all.
That'd be great if they're like, we don't actually know if these will be in the game.
But here are some sports.
Here are some sports that we know to exist.
Yeah, hockey, mountain climbing.
Horse racing, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Hunting, unfortunately. Mm. Cricket.
Here's
unfortunately.
Here's something I was thinking last night. I reckon the holy three of the laziest sports.
Okay.
Bowling, darts, pool.
Yeah, they're the fat guy sports.
They're the three fat guy sports.
I was watching darts at a pub we were eating at.
Which is lazier than playing darts.
I guess so. But I was having to turn my head. Like the TV was to the side.
Sure. Yep.
And it's sick that they have these massive stadiums full of all these people watching darts, and the guys are just big boys.
Yeah.
It's
drinking
relatable.
Drinking pints as well.
Yeah. It makes your aim better.
Sure.
If you've always been doing it that way.
Yeah.
What's the laziest of those three sports, do you think?
Out of bowling, darts, and pool. Oh, darts.
Darts would have to be, surely.
Because literally no movement.
Yeah.
Bowling, you've got to get a little run up to the
You don't run
lane.
Up.
Well, you get a little canter
walk,
going.
Sure, yeah.
And
you're moving around the table.
Big, heavy ball with bowling.
Oh, yeah, that's swing. That's, you know, that's exercise.
Darts, you got to walk back and forth from the dartboard,
yeah,
but
to
only
the bar.
Once every, like, three.
Yeah, that's true.
And that can happen in... That's not... The speed that you do that doesn't impact the game.
Yeah.
You could crawl up there.
I guess you could.
You just insist upon it. You're the best darts player in the world. So you're like, no, this is how I do it.
Here comes Crawlin' Johnson. We don't have the airtime to actually show you this entire darts. What are they, a match? I guess it'd be a match.
Yeah,
darts is sick.
Tournament.
Darts is fun.
Yeah.
So is bowling and so is pool. The lazier, the better.
I went bowling last night. That's why I was thinking about it.
Nice.
Good fun. You know what I miss? Maybe this is too specific a... Australia / Victoria thing.
AMF.
But in AMF,
yes.
When you would go bowling and every shot you would take, there would be like a little thing on the screen, like a little CGI animation of, you know, let's say The bowling ball is a sheriff. And he's shooting down a bunch of the bowling pins that are all dressed like criminals.
Yeah.
And there'll be like a little different themed one of them for every, you know, for every like type of shot you could get.
Sure,
that's gone. I mean, mate, I went to a strike bowling last night.
Yeah.
And you don't get any stuff like that. There's just like old YouTube found footage of like Bugs Bunny cartoons on the screen.
Why?
For the whole thing. I don't know. Random.
Why have the TVs there if you're just going
to... Yeah. Well, one time I went to strike and it was like... Eminem was playing over the speakers and they just had the footy on the screens at the end of the lanes. I was like, this is brutal.
I knew that Eminem was playing over the speakers. I didn't think Eminem was there in the corner of the bowling alley.
I could have meant like the music video was on as well.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Eminem was playing in the lane next to me.
She just kept slipping over on all the things trying to perform.
But yeah,
cool.
sports story. Sick. Is there a...
Mid 2020 is the release window.
Exciting stuff.
I
don't even mind that those guys have gone back to the well.
No. It was a good game.
And they're Australian, aren't they?
I think so,
yes.
Yeah.
If they're building the well bigger too, that's cool.
Mm. Like, yeah.
Axiom Verge 2, which is another one that I don't think I ever got around to playing. Like a Metroid style game.
Mm-hmm.
Axiom Verge 1. Mm-hmm. That'll be in the... American fall of 2020, so our spring,
right
towards the back half of the year. I think that was very well regarded, though.
Yeah,
Axiom Verge.
I remember hearing a lot of good stuff about it at the time, but similar to you, just never getting around to it.
Something called Skate Bird, which is about a bird that skates. So there you go.
Is it? It kind of looks a bit Tony Hawk esque.
Tony Hawk,
yeah,
as in it's the bird Hawk.
Yeah.
That's the best title of any game ever.
Why didn't they call this, like Tony Eagle or something?
Yeah.
Eagle's Pro Skateboarding.
Yeah.
I bet they tried but couldn't.
Yeah.
Fuck, I hate the name Skatebird now.
Yeah.
Tommy Eagle's Skatebirding.
Eagle's Skatebirding.
Yeah.
Pro Skatebirding.
Yeah.
What's a bird word that rhymes with pro?
Crow.
Oh!
Tony.
Wait, what's a bird that's Tony as well?
What?
A bird that rhymes with Tony.
Tony.
Oh, Flony Eagles. Pro skate bird. Quick, find these guys' email address.
Yeah. Urgent.
And then you know how like in Tony Hawk's you get unlocked Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So we're like, you can have this name. All we want is we want to be unlockable characters.
Oh, yeah.
The three of us as birds.
But we're all in Spider-Man outfits.
But it's just the little name above it.
Yeah.
Little floaty name.
You unlock Spider-Man, but it says Ben.
Yeah.
Like, what? His name's
I'm
Peter.
Like, yes, I made it.
Something called Gleamlight, which is from the Bloodstained people, which is another, it's a side-scrolling action game. I'm going to click through to it here. It is available early 2020.
Ooh.
It's got kind of a...
That's soon.
Yeah.
Jan 1. Where is it?
Very Hollow Knight looking side-scrolling action game.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a watercolory... Stained glass is how they're describing it.
Oh, I might have seen this actually.
It looks a lot like Hollow Knight. Something called Super Mash, which is coming up in May. In Super Mash, it is set in a game shop owned by a brother and a sister who discover a mysterious game console. Every time they turn it on, it mashes different game genres together.
Okay.
So maybe that's something like a little WarioWare-ish, something like that. Not too much more info on that I can see.
I like their pitch. It's got me interested.
I'd
like to see how that works. What does it mean? How do you mash up two game styles?
It'd be like...
get a load of Hollywood Ben over here. I like the pitch.
How much are you going to need to do this? I just watched all of those the documentaries, the movies that made us.
Oh.
Have you seen that? The films that made us? It's on Netflix.
I haven't seen, but I keep seeing the toys that made us come up and be like, oh.
It makes it so, it's the same
one,
but like about movies like Die Hard and Home Alone.
Right.
Ghostbusters and Dirty Dancing, I think. I didn't watch a Dirty Dancing because I've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
But
you seen Die Hard though?
I have seen Die Hard.
Oh, it's a perfect one to pop up around Christmas
time. It's my favorite Christmas movie.
Jingle bells, jingle. Die Hard must be playing.
It's my favorite Christmas movie. everyone, I thought of this idea. It's a Christmas movie.
Ho, ho, ho.
What about, you know, that dumb thing that people do called, what's it called? Whamageddon?
Yeah.
Where people try and, it's like, how long can you go over December without hearing Last Christmas by Wham?
We're fucking like, infinite.
There's all these.
I can go 30 days.
I heard it straight away.
Yeah, the idea is that it's so ubiquitous. Like in every shop you're in, it's impossible to avoid this.
Just don't go to shops.
But that should be the
it's
new
not
challenge.
Playing on Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Die Hard Again. How long can you last
until
in
some
the festive
cunt
season
says Die Hard or
some cunt talking about Die Hard being a Christmas movie?
Yeah. Too bad everyone loses.
I hung out with Tim Clark the other day. So.
There's something called Boyfriend Dungeon.
Hi, Tim.
The oft mentioned on this program, yes. Tim Clark, and we rarely really give any context for who he is or why we're talking about him for anyone who doesn't know.
He's been on the podcast before. He yelled something in the back of an episode.
He often introduces us at our live shows.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
He was Ben's housemate when we started doing this podcast. Yes. So he would be in the background every now and then.
Yeah.
He was in Chimp Cop.
Yes.
With these two men.
What's that?
Melbourne stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Saw him crush at Spleen a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Very, very funny.
We did
another one of them, calling it like Chimp Cop is my favorite Christmas movie or something like that. Would be pretty funny.
Oh, yes.
I want to find, I reckon you could, there must be a film where there's a way more tangential link to Christmas. Like,
yeah.
Like one
Passion of the Christ is my favorite Christmas
that's
movie.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
That's pretty good.
Really not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you're like, you act like that, but you just say Scrooged or something. Now, you guys might not get the connection, but Scrooged is my favorite Christmas movie.
My favorite Christmas movie is The Grinch.
Home Alone. Now, let me explain.
Home Alone 2 is my favorite Christmas movie. Does that take place? Because that doesn't take place at Christmas, does it?
I think it does as well.
Does it?
It's definitely winter.
It's definitely winter in New York.
It's Christmas, yeah.
Yeah, because he goes to the toy shop. And, yeah, I think
I was
going to
say, if it wasn't Christmas, but your argument was that it's a follow-on from Home Alone 1.
Yeah. And
so you just technically, it's like part of the larger Home Alone universe.
It's in the Christmas cinematic
universe. Which established itself
universe.
In Christmas. Yeah.
The Christmas cinematic
universe.
Yeah, the CCU. Yeah.
Boyfriend Dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that title.
That's, well, Boyfriend Dungeon is where I'm going to be visiting later on. It's where I get tied up by my...
Right.
It's a dungeon crawler.
She's punish you like she punishes those plants. No sunlight. No water.
And Mum's going to have to come around and fix you.
Repot you.
It's a dungeon crawler and a dating sim, which is Persona 5. It's a JRPG.
But it's got a meta title.
Yeah.
So, and I don't like that.
Yeah, I don't like the title.
I'm just clicking through to the Nintendo page to have a look at the art style. Because when it's not working for whatever reason.
Great.
Here it is. Isometric, dungeon crawler, and then, dating sim as well.
Yeah.
Yep. We've got... it's Murder by Numbers. Which is a visual novel crossed with Picross. I love Picross.
Yeah,
Picross is cool.
Yeah.
And it's... it's the developers of Hatoful Boyfriend, which I never played.
Oh, right.
The pigeon dating simulator. Mm.
All of these games sound like they were generated in that Super Mash game.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, it's mixed two genres.
Yeah.
It's got the composer from the Ace Attorney games.
Oh.
That sounds like it could be cool.
Yeah, that does sound cool.
The Survivalists, a pixel art survival online multiplayer game from Team 17. Couldn't care less. I guess that's The Escapists.
Right.
Which is the one that I always see that's on sale that has the worst looking art style that I've ever seen.
Yes.
And it always turns me on. I mean, off.
Whoa!
Turns me off a bit. I was reading the word on.
That was a genuine Freudian slip.
Wasn't Freudian.
We got him.
Someone's going to have to go to the Boyfriend Dungeon tonight.
Ben, read him his Miranda rights. We got him. Banged it. We got him up against the wall here.
An Oddworld Stranger's Wrath.
Yeah, I want to fuck it.
Now, Tommy, you might not realise.
I mean, I want to play it. I was looking at the word fuck.
So that is just a port.
Yep.
Yeah.
From the original Xbox, if you trace it back. And then out today, Dauntless and the Talos Principle. Two games that have been on other things.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Weird that they didn't do it as like one of the Nindies Direct or whatever it seems like. They just kind of...
It's what was it called? Indie World? They had
I guess
this
it
other...
was an indie a Nintendo Direct, but it was... Yeah, Indie World.
Indie World. Because they have these two separate brands and I've never been able to work out what the difference is because there's the Nindies showcases and then there's this Indie World thing. And I don't quite get what the difference is.
I wonder if Nindies... have some Nintendo funding behind them or something like that. And this Indie World thing is like, well, we technically don't own any of these things, but we'll show them off for whatever reason.
They're just going to be on the eShop.
But yeah, no idea.
Because yeah, the sports story is like a significant enough. If there were just a bunch of like, I don't know, stuff that's already out on other things that's just happening to come over in the next couple of months, then I could kind of understand wanting to sneak it under the radar.
Right.
But sports story is a big announcement.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know why Nintendo does 85% of the things they do. Yeah, so I've stopped even like surface level analyzing it in my brain.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna read the names of the games.
Yeah, it's always weird when none of these are Nintendo doing them. Like they're coming out on the Switch, but this is just a bunch of random games all being kind of talked about or announced at once. But some of them have been announced before. Some of them are already out on the PC.
Yeah,
like it's. The Switch is just a fun place to play indie stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure. It's nice to have that thing on a handheld, those things on a handheld.
Weird time to be doing announcements, though.
Yeah,
getting near
I
the
guess
end
so.
Of the year, stuff starting to, new Sony's kind of slow.
I guess not anymore, because fucking Sony has done another one, which we'll talk about in a minute, and like the Game Awards the next week.
Yeah.
Something like 15 trailers or 15 announcements, maybe.
Something like that,
cool.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of stuff there. There always is.
Hey, good for us.
Yeah. Yeah. Towards this back end of the year where there's nothing new coming out, like, I've been playing Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we said, we've got a Games of the Decade podcast coming out. Not to give anything away, but I've been playing Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
Tried to play Mass Effect 1.
Oh, you actually did. Yeah, right.
Yeah. I put it in. I've still got it.
Yeah.
and then after I left the boyfriend dungeon.
Yes.
Yes.
It just... At the time, the shooting wasn't great and the controls weren't great and it didn't run great. But in like 2007 on the 360, a lot of games did that.
Right.
Sort of.
It just had that personality. And the story obviously is, you know, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've played through that game like 3 times or something now. So I kind of remember the beats quite well.
Yeah.
And
Saren?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Saren is a spectre. He's a Taurian spectre.
Yeah.
But
you gotta, he makes the One Ring. And
exactly.
Then Frodo has to chuck it in the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And you've got it. Samwise asks you to pick between 3 colors.
Yep.
Or some
you got
shit.
To either fuck Merry or Pippin.
Merry.
Yeah. There's a game that in 2007 was kind of subpar in these ways, but people let it get away with it because of these other positive things.
Yeah.
Once you already kind of know those positive things and aren't excited to see them anymore, which is all the story and everything, the gameplay really was a little difficult to go back to.
Right.
So I played 2, maybe 3 hours of Mass Effect 1, and it hasn't really kicked off by then either. It's a long game.
Yeah, yeah.
But just couldn't really be fucked with it. There's a little digital comic thing they made for Mass Effect 2 that recaps the events of 1 and lets you make the choices for that. It's about 15 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And then lets you get straight into 2, having made those choices. And I did that, and it was kind of cool.
So I've that's the way I first experienced the franchise. I got 2 on the PS3, having not played 1.
And 1 had never come out on the PS3.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And yeah, I didn't have the gaming PC at that point.
Mm.
But I was kind of the same. I got Mass Effect 1 on PC much, much later, was playing it and was like, oh, but I remember how good Mass Effect 2 is. It holds up. Still, I imagine you just played it.
I'm maybe halfway through at this point, and it's fucking great still.
Yeah,
I'm still really enjoying it. Obviously, you know, it doesn't look as good as I remember.
But gameplay-wise, like the cover shooting, like all that stuff was so, so fluid and well done.
It's still good. It's 10 years old, especially with shooters, third-person shooters of that generation too, they do age.
Right.
The tightness of the controls and that sort of stuff that we have in those sort of games now, you kind of take for granted.
Mm-hmm. What are you playing it on?
The 360.
Right.
The like original version.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, it's not like, maybe a mouse and keyboard feels better at this point, but you kind of take, it's with something like Red Dead 2 last year, a big complaint that a lot of people had, not really myself included that much, but that the controls felt a bit weird and the shooting was kind of off. this is kind of, it's different to that. It's a weird comparison to make, but I think people saying that about Red Dead 2 just shows how much we take how good controls for stuff are for granted now.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
We've really got it down at this point. Yeah. And I guess it will keep going like that, but it is older. And yeah, 2007 or whenever Mass Effect 1 came out has aged more than the 2010 that, yeah, like a 5 out of 10 in those respects for a 2007 game doesn't hold up anymore. Like a 9 out of 10 in those respects for 2010 game still does.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
makes sense?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm still enjoying playing it. The shooting is definitely not up to the quality of games today, but that's to be expected. But the structure of it is the thing that's really getting me through it. That's the... Because, I've played it before. I kind of know where the story goes. I remember vague beats of, oh, yeah, this character has this issue that they want you to help and all that sort of stuff. But it's still well-written enough that I'm enjoying it when it comes up. And just the putting together the team, having, like, these 10 or so team members who you go and you do their mission to bring them on board, and then they give you another mission to gain their loyalty.
Yeah. And then the main story is sort of escalating at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. That, like... 40 minute to an hour-ish kind of that sort of length chunk of thing, and then kind of being able to do them in whatever order you want, mm-hmm, is really, really cool for a structure. It's levels. It's just like a list of levels pretty much that you can choose from and do in the order that you want to, essentially. And that structure is still really, really good and very fun, like this heist movie thing of like putting together the team, and you're kind of directing in whatever direction you want. So Mass Effect 2 is still... really, really fun. I'm enjoying it heaps.
Sick.
So I played that maybe, I think just the once, maybe twice back in the day. And then I'm really looking forward to getting to 3 and coming back to that without having ever touched it again since 2012.
Yeah.
And seeing if that still makes the grade.
Mm.
But yeah, it kind of made me realize why there hasn't been a remastered thing of all of those as well, because Mass Effect 1 is the problem.
Right.
They would really have to go back in and redo Mass Effect 1 to have it be...
acceptable.
Exactly. Yeah. To be received well now. Yeah. They would need to do significant work to that game in particular.
You'd almost want them to remake it in a similar engine to the sequels.
Yeah.
Like, turn it from that weird sort of just point and shoot thing to like a proper third person cover shooter.
Yeah. And you might even need to do it with 2 a bit as well. Like, yeah, it's a little clunkier than I remember.
A proper remake / remaster of that franchise, I'd be all in. I'd happily rebuy that and replay that.
Yeah. I like...
It's like the good Star Wars trilogy of the past 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, it really holds up, I think, in that regard.
That stuff of like the galaxy that they make and all the backstories of all the different races there and the way it's all drawn out and made to feel like this much, much bigger galaxy than you get to actually see. You're walking around in pretty small areas and stuff still, but... It's still effective, and it's still sucks you in.
You could call it. You could say it's mass effective.
You could. I don't know why. I don't get what
that's
a reference to.
Can we bump that one up in the edit?
Just burning people's ears.
You could say it's mass effective.
Yeah, I don't know. They maybe don't hold together well enough for it to be. I don't know. They
like a right.
They just weren't quite there enough at the time with the shooting and that sort of stuff. You know, like, I do remember at the time everyone kind of being like, it's a decent shooter now.
Right.
With 2.
Right, yeah. Right.
And that doesn't sit quite as well now.
Yeah, sure.
It took a little bit of adjusting even with 2, but now that I'm in. But I guess reboot the whole thing?
That would be good.
Yeah. Because Andromeda, I guess, was a reboot, but they didn't... From all the reports of people, I'm still yet to play it.
Oh, I played a bunch of it. I played like 20 hours or something.
Right.
It has some of the fun sort of going on the missions and getting people together and like very basic RPG sci-fi, just like, let's progress the story by doing this.
Yeah.
And it has a bit of sort of like the sheen, the Mass Effect sheen.
Mass Effect 2 had a lot of sheen. Martin Sheen.
Oh,
Martin Sheen is in the game.
And now you've joined the party.
And it's still it's still cool to be like, fucking Martin Sheen's in this. That's
weird.
Yeah,
I forgot that. He's really
He's the elusive
good,
man.
Yeah, it's a good character. But yeah, Andromeda just had like none of the actual like fun, really unique personal touches that made that trilogy actually good.
Yeah. The story and the side stories, this is a weird point. I think it suffers being in a post how TV in the last decade has gone world, because a lot of what Two was, what was cool about Two at the time was that it had these really interesting side stories for all these characters,
right?
Of like, oh, this is crazy that this this is like an Asari assassin. Asari is like one of the alien races, if you don't know, whose daughter is like this succubus, basically, who goes around having sex with people and that kills them, and she has to kill her. And it was like, wow, what a crazy story. And it isn't as impactful now. I don't know if it's because I know it or if it's because you've had your Game of Throneses and stuff, and the way that the world has been telling stories in, you know, popular culture for the last 10 years, there's been a lot of things done that are all connected and all a long story. And there's been a lot of things that have kind of pushed those boundaries of like where stories will go to in like a morally gray area.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And not much of this seems that gray anymore. Not much of it seems that like out there anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I can see that being the case.
A Mass Effect that was kind of focusing on having those kind of grounded gray stories, especially like the Paragon and Renegade differences in that.
That becomes a little simplistic or, yeah.
They're lame.
A little corny, yeah.
I think the Renegade's choices are all shit.
Right.
Like, it's you're doing the same things.
A lot of just yelling
in
someone's face.
Yeah, you're just being a dick.
Yeah.
And then it's, I'm not doing them. I've done a couple of them towards the start because it's like, oh, maybe I'll do like a Renegade run. I've never done that before. But they suck. It's just like you're going in the same direction and saying the same things, but you're a cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
And I then having the story later on be like, wow, you are a example of what humanity can do. And you're like, fuck off, nerd. It is like the dumbest direction to take that stuff in.
Sure, yeah. That really suffers in comparison to modern storytelling because, yeah, modern storytelling has genuine shades of grey.
Yeah.
Moral choices where there's no right answer and stuff like that. Mass Effect, it's just like, you're going to make the right choice, but you're going to be a little sassy.
So that stuff about Mass Effect has weirdly aged.
Yeah.
The writing has aged.
Right.
The shooting has, it's all aged. It's 10 years old nearly. So
it would all be older.
It is older.
Right.
But I'm surprised by how much that's affecting me because I'm usually quite good at adjusting to old things.
Right.
And I guess these games are in just that weird middle point that is always hovering there.
Yeah.
Where when it was 2010, stuff from 2000 was less interesting. And when it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's, before something becomes retro, it's just old.
Yeah.
So it's in a weird point now. But I'm enjoying two. One was hard to go back to. I will play three after this and then I will dip into Andromeda. Ooh. So if anyone wants to hear Mass Effect reports, this is the podcast, baby.
Yes.
We've also had, over the last couple of days, a Sony State of Play.
Yeah, yesterday or today. Yesterday, when you're hearing this.
Yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Maybe 2 days ago in the US.
Maybe 3 days ago if you waited a day to listen.
Maybe it's 4 years from now.
Whoa.
In which case, probably you could go back to Mass Effect 1 now and be like, oh, this is quaint now.
Yeah. Retro. They announced a bunch of stuff. They gave the release date for Dreams, Feb 14. Valentine's Day, a day for dreaming.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I haven't had a dream in a long time.
Really? I've started having weird dreams again.
Really?
Yeah, like going on like holidays with my family and getting stuck in the snow and stuff.
Oh, no.
Like, what's going on
here? What if that's a vision, a premonition?
Oh, about going on holidays and getting stuck in the snow? Yeah, well, maybe.
Has Dreams been in the pipeline for a very long time, hasn't it?
It's technically out in early access.
Right.
And it's weird because you can still buy it for like, I don't know if they're changing the price actually. I feel like at one point they were saying after early access they were going to put the price up to like full price, but currently it's like cheaper.
Right.
But you can buy that right now and play it in early access.
They're adding a story mode for the for the proper release.
Okay. And that'll just, I'm assuming that'll be similar to Little Big Planet where it was just sort of demoing what you could do with the creation tools.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, it's more of a guided experience rather than like, you know, a proper narrative.
Because that thing seems cool. People have already made, I've seen like some really cool stuff in it.
Like what?
Like boxing games and platformers and shooters and all sorts of different crazy nuts stuff.
Okay.
I remember going through a bunch of YouTube videos of like, here's the weird shit we've been making in dreams. And obviously it's a more limited pool of people making it currently than it will be when it fully comes out. But that, I feel like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, Sony was like, dreams, huh?
Yeah.
Media Molecule, they're fucking bringing that out. Yeah. And then it dipped off.
It was at a, it was at PAX when we went, last year.
It was there this Maybe year too.
Yeah, it was before, there this year. Yeah, I think all 3 years, there's been a line for dreams.
Yeah.
But I've passed by.
But whatever.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Goose Game's coming to PS4 and Xbox.
Great.
Cool.
It's got a Game Pass specifically.
Oh, nice.
So everyone can play Goose Game if you got an Xbox.
And Game Pass.
And Game Pass.
18,000 people can play Goose Game. I wonder how many people they have signed up for that.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
Call Bill Gates.
It's everyone should sign up for it. December 13 is Goose Game.
Cool.
That's a good game.
Spellbreak is a magic-based battle royale.
Okay.
So we're all going to play that? Yeah. We're all going in?
Yeah. Is it like... I'm assuming the magic is just like, instead of a bazooka, you've got a magic bazooka. Or like, you can freeze this person for a little bit and then shoot them with your magic bazooka.
It looks like they're wearing gloves with magic powers.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool.
Oh, boy.
That's cool that they made it magic even less cool. Somehow I'll be like, it's not real magic. I have to put on these gloves.
Superliminal, a game that I was watching a little trailer of before. It's been on PC for a month, but it's coming to PS4. It looks fucking awesome.
This is the perspective one that I feel like there was a trailer for like 6 years ago.
Right.
I remember seeing, maybe it was just like a tech demo for these people figuring this game out. Maybe it's something else, but it's like you pick up a small thing, like a chess piece near you.
Or a PS4 controller I saw in the trailer.
And then you turn around and put it on what looks like a faraway table. And then when you walk up to it, it'll be big as though it was actually on that table, but far away and perspective small.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a bunch of those.
Puzzles.
What was there? Hellblade Senua's Sacrifice had a lot of perspective puzzles of like lining shit up, getting symbols to appear.
Yeah.
Nowhere near as creative as this, I'll say. Like this looks really, really fun and cool. And I don't play a lot of first-person puzzle games, although you, Knox.
I like
them. And you, Tommy, you like The Witness?
I like The Witness,
yeah.
I liked Myst and shit like that. And Abduction was by those people. And that sort of game I enjoy.
Yeah. So this is cool.
Antichamber.
Right.
Do you remember Antichamber?
Nope.
It's like that kind of...
I remember the hype.
Very minimal graphics and stuff. Mm. And I was confused by it is why.
Oh.
I could not fucking figure that thing out. So I decided it was bad.
Right. No release date for Superliminal yet. What else is... Kingdom Hearts 3. It's got some DLC coming out. So that's good.
Cool.
Do you know what it is?
They're bringing in Final Fantasy characters Leon, Yuffie, and Aeris.
Okay.
And it's spelled Aerith, but I said Aeris.
It's Aeris to me as well.
It's Aeris.
I thought for ages, for some reason, that song, I'm all out of faith, this is how I feel. I thought she was saying I'm all out of face. Like, you know, you lose face.
Sure, yeah.
And I thought she was just saying it weird. And then adjusting to it being faith and figuring out that I was wrong always made me feel like I was lisping. Same as this.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's the exact same situation. Some game called Predator Hunting Grounds, Babylon's Fall, which is a new Platinum game to collab with Square Enix.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying before the show, it just looks like a Platinum game.
Yep.
Yeah, we fed 50 Platinum games into this bot and it was like, I don't know what to do with this. AI isn't up to this level. And then Platinum made a new game.
Yeah, exactly. And then two more things that are of the most interest, I think, to us. Resident Evil 3 Remake confirmed.
Yep.
3rd of April 2020. Yep. So it's another fucking thing in that deluge of games coming out like March, April next year. It looks good. The graphics are really, really good. Same as Resident Evil 2, I guess.
Yeah.
Did you play that, Tommy?
I got it and then never played it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's a life.
I know. I got to play it.
How good is that shit?
Just sitting there mocking me every time I turn the console on.
You see that little tile there? That little logo going like, fuck yes. That was like $100.
Yeah.
Because I played the demo. I played the demo and really liked that.
Right. Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I said it on the pod at the time. Too scary for me. Loved it. Really well done. Beautiful graphics. Fun puzzles. too scary. I didn't want to get walking down a corridor and zombies having a go at me.
Resident Evil 3 will be way scarier, I reckon.
Really?
Because Resident Evil 3, the big thing was Nemesis, who's like this big zombie who, at the time, I played the original on the PS1 back in the day, and he would chase you around similar to the Mr. X guy in Resident Evil 2, but he could like blow his way through walls and shit and would come at you when you were not expecting it at all.
No.
And if they can pull off that feeling again, but in a modern context of having him, you know, blow up through the ground or whatever.
Yep.
That's all it is. It's just changed axis.
Right.
Coming through. But
and good graphics.
Beautiful fucking graphics. Mm. They'll have to do a hell of a lot of work to make this like a substantial remake.
Right.
Same as they did with 2. That was a huge remake. But 2 was a longer game than I remember 3 being. 3 was kind of short. And I think just the Jill story, and they've added another character now who I don't really remember from the first one, but might have been in it. Over the shoulder shooter thing again, and they're including that multiplayer game.
Yeah. Project something.
The fourth, fifth fucking
Project Resistance.
They put out a bunch of those Resident Evil multiplayer games that I don't think anybody has liked or played, really.
Right.
So it's smart, I guess, to just package it in with this.
Sure.
I don't think it's really a selling point.
Right.
I don't know if anyone's coming for that. But
just being able to say it has single player and multiplayer.
Sure.
Is something.
Quick turnaround too.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah.
I wonder if they were working on both at once or what's going on. Because Resident Evil 2 took ages, right? I remember them announcing that ages and ages ago. Like, we're doing the... Do you remember they just said, like, we are doing a remake?
Yeah, I don't remember that.
He, like, someone from the studio, like, put on Twitter, like, would you guys like to see a Resident Evil 2 remake?
Right.
Put it to, like, a poll or something. Clearly, like, took that to their bosses and went, like, look. And then, like, 4 years later or something, Resident Evil 2 came out.
Right.
So, good on him, yeah. Looks
when
fine.
Did it come out? Like, May
last
year?
It was, like, January. I think it was quite early. It was
Yeah,
they have turned that around quick. That's great.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And then I think the game that I'm most excited for that was mentioned in this state of play, Ghosts of Tsushima, got less than a minute cutscene trailer reveal saying, hey, for the rest of this reveal, watch the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But it looks sick still. Like, I forgot how excited I was for it. It looks like a beautiful game.
I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. Still no date? Maybe the Game Awards.
Surely.
Yeah. You'd imagine so. Because if it's still a PS4 game, it's got to be within the next 11 months or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm.
So.
And they've been talking about it for a while now, so it must be.
That was years ago that they announced that one.
Yeah.
And then it was one of their four that year that they had four.
Last year. Not this.
So 2018.
Yeah. 2018 E3.
Because they skipped this year, hey.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't still really know enough about it to be feeling anything either way. Samurai are cool.
Yeah.
But we've had a lot of similarly set games now, a lot of feudal Japan kind of.
I mean, I think my reaction when it first got announced, because it was announced around the same time that Sekiro was.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Was that Sekiro, and, you know, accurately so, looked like it was going to be too hard for me to fully enjoy.
Right.
And this looked like at least a slightly easier version of it.
Sure.
Yeah, so I'm excited for it.
I like that first Infamous game they did.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I think that's the only game of theirs I've ever played. But, good on them.
Yeah,
making games is hard. Yeah. If they can pull that off, I'll be so impressed.
Very, very
full
impressed.
Credit to the boys.
Yeah.
What else? There was another confirmation during the week that a new BioShock is being worked on.
News Biological Shock.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite series.
Short for Biological Shockford.
Tweet that.
But you guys are big fans of that series?
Yes.
I like it.
I'm a big fan of the series.
Yeah, Ben's the big fan.
I'm the huge fan.
I'm an upper medium fan.
Yeah, right. I'm an XL.
I'm like a M then, I guess.
Yeah. But it's not being developed by Irrational Games.
It's not being developed by anyone clear at this point.
I think.
Or have they put together it like they properly said, here's the team.
Yeah, I'll find
the team.
We've
got an Asari named Liara. We went to Ilium and found a... I can't remember any more stuff from that game. I'm so bad at remembering made up names and places. They're all made up eventually, but like sci-fi and fantasy names and places. I'm so terrible at going like, oh yeah, this town from Middle Earth. fucking Rohan. I know that one because it's just a name.
Gondor. Minas Tirith. So it's the announcement came from 2K. So they're the publisher basically that holds the license of BioShock still. The developer is a company called Cloud Chamber. And the team...
Are they new? Cloud Chamber? Have they made anything before?
Oh, mate, I don't know. Yeah, a new wholly owned game development studio, Cloud Chamber.
Right.
Owned by 2K. But yes, they have put together a team. They say, quote, several members of our team played key roles in other BioShock titles, including Hoagie Delaplante. Does sound made up.
Is that the job title or the...
creative director.
Right.
Scott Sinclair, art director, and Jonathan Pelling, design director. They all worked on previous BioShock games.
Okay.
So that's cool. It doesn't have the creative mastermind, Ken Levine, though.
Well, and the writing is the thing, like the story of those games was the thing that really got me in. Like yes. they were good shooters.
The fact that the world building tied into the story and the gameplay was the most impressive thing about them.
Definitely. And like, so without that element being sort of locked in and or being clear who's doing that part, I'm not really interested.
Yeah.
And this seems like them going, hey, we've got this name. Right. We should do this.
They also were very quick to point out, we're announcing this at the beginning of its development cycle. Don't expect anything new for several years.
Right.
So don't expect anything new for several years.
I'm not expecting it to come out, to be perfectly honest. That sounds like a mess waiting to happen.
Right.
That's a weird way of announcing something.
Yeah.
So early on.
Yeah.
Any kind of common sense.
But maybe they're just like, hey, it's been 6 years since BioShock Infinite. I think we've got to remind people that it exists.
I think we've got to remind our shareholders that we're making a game and that they should keep investing money with us.
Yeah. Right.
Sort of situation.
Because what the fuck is a BioShock game at this, like, with a different team of people, even if some of them have worked on the previous games, with a different, like, the key driving stuff behind that did appear to be Ken Levine.
Absolutely, yeah.
So without him there and without any, what's the attachment to the old one? What does BioShock mean?
Yeah.
I remember thinking that even when Infinite came out, it turned out that tied into the others.
Yeah, yeah.
But it didn't need to, and it sort of came out of nowhere, you know? What the fuck does BioShock mean? Does it just mean a shooter with powers and it'll have like a kind of weird looking environment? Because there have been a lot of those as well, and I've never really gotten that into Dishonored or Prey or any of those other BioShock style, the recent Deus Ex games I've not liked.
Right. A lot of people did like the Dishonored games.
Yeah.
I played the first one. It was fine. It wasn't on the same level as BioShock, I don't think.
Well, even BioShock, I don't think, was on the same level as like System Shock and Deus Ex for me. The original ones back then were the good versions of that type of game. And all of the ones from BioShock on, I've not been as interested in the gameplay of those.
Right.
That type of whatever genre that is called, the fucking...
not very deep shooter.
Right, and
with,
like...
with powers.
I guess you stealth genre.
Right, right.
The gameplay of those hasn't been the driving thing for me, but the storylines of, you know, those BioShock games was all right.
So this Hoagie guy...
Yeah.
He's been a level builder.
Right, and now he's a creative director. So I'm not sure if that translates into what I would be interested in from a BioShock game.
Yeah, I think that's a fair skepticism to have.
Because if it was like, hey, we've got someone making the new fucking Goodfellas.
Okay.
There's someone making, there's Goodfellas 2. Oh. It's coming out. And get this.
All right.
People who worked on the original Goodfellas, they're back.
Oh, which people? Like yeah, the screenwriter or the editor? Or,
no.
The key grip is now the director.
We got him, boys.
What does the key
they're
grip
back.
Even do?
We got the key grip back.
What's he been doing in between?
Cloud Chamber. Okay. It's new. We made it just to make Goodfellas 2.
Is that a vape thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm all in there.
It's the vape studio is making sick. BioShock Infinite was in the clouds.
They couldn't even get the best together. Boy. And he's the best boy.
We don't have the best boy, but yeah. We got... So the art director now, he's seen Goodfellas.
Oh! Yeah. Oh, so it's Todd Phillips.
He knows. Like, this is basically the new Star Wars movies, I guess, that I'm describing.
Yeah. All popular culture.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. It's a weird thing to be like, Bioshock's back. Don't know when. We don't know what it is. I guess we got some of the old people. See you in 6 years.
Yeah. Surely they're relying on like people like me who love the franchise to be like excited.
Yeah.
I'm not. I took note of it.
Right.
But yeah.
Well, because it doesn't really mean anything.
No.
At this point, yeah, you've got, even if you were like so excited, you've got so long to wait anyway. So yeah. Who cares?
Mm.
Yeah.
And like, cool, you still own the name Bioshock. Good
for
you.
Yeah.
Nah.
Oh, well. Is that all the news we had for the week?
It's all the news I've got.
I guess so.
That's it, baby.
Let me have a troll. Let me have a quick troll.
One big bit of news we should mention is our Let's Plays.
Oh, yeah.
We're currently doing Until Dawn.
Fresh in from the front.
Please watch our YouTube videos.
This is like when those fucking, when a, like news.com will be like, hey, by the way, some of the fucking Channel 7 shows are pretty good.
Yeah. But check that out. We're making our way through Until Dawn, proving to be very popular so far. Lots of people really enjoying those each week.
Yeah.
They're still coming out one a week, but there's what, four
out
at this point?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Four out. Well, I forget how many in total. About 10?
I think 10.
Yeah.
So a few more to go. Get on board, catch up.
Yeah.
Do a bit of a binge.
We'll hopefully be doing a new one in a shorter time frame after this one is done. Does that make sense?
So a lot of people have been suggesting we do that Man of Medan game. Apparently it's not very good, so I'm hesitant to commit to playing it. I do own it already, though.
We'll do whatever.
We'll do what we want to do.
Yeah. We'll work it out.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
But yeah, check that out.
So my point being, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Oh, yes. Yep. Because there'll be stuff coming out.
Smash that like button. Hit on the little bell, I believe you've got to do now to get notifications.
Notified. Oh, yeah, of course. Well, that'll do us for another week, I think.
Yeah. Boys. Have you been doing shit?
Nah.
Hell yeah.
I've been playing a bit of Civ 5 and listening to podcasts, but I haven't had heaps of time to go in on anything new or,
No, there's not much coming out. We're sort of winding down for the end of the year. Yep. I'll give a Mass Effect update next week. But I think the big Game of the Year episodes and Games of the Decade ones, I think they're burners.
Oh, they're good ones.
They are, because we've already done them, and they're great. Well, obviously, next week, Game Awards, there'll be a shitloads of things to talk about.
Yep.
A lot of trailers will be dropping. There'll be lots of interesting choices, I'm sure, at the Games Awards.
Yeah, I think it's worth saying as well, I was hesitant about, I was skeptical about the ethics of Jeff Keighley being involved with them and then being in Death Stranding. I didn't realize he has no input on who wins Game of the Year or anything.
Yeah, it's actually less, not corrupt, but compromised than like something like the Academy.
Yeah.
Because they're in movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And they vote on the movies.
Totally.
And they don't see the movies, half of them, apparently. So
it's like 80 journalists or something, games journalists, who blindly vote.
Yeah, what are you guys going to vote for? Because I'm still tossing up what my ballot's going to go to in the Games Awards.
You got invited?
Yeah. You didn't get invited?
Jeff Keighley told me that I should fuck off and never call him again.
Oh.
I thought he was just being funny. I thought it just, like, I couldn't be in for some reason. Oh.
No, I'm voting. So
I'm voting. Doing the catering.
Oh, sick.
Well, yeah, we'll see you next week. We'll talk about all the stuff from the Game Awards, and then, yeah, we're into our big Games of the Year and Decade. Let's leave it there for the week. filthycasuals.com.au for the links to our premium episodes on Bandcamp. Check out the YouTube. Get on Patreon and support the show. You can get a bonus episode every week.
You'll be able to hear what we're about to record after this.
Yeah.
So if you want to join the club and be cool, get on the Patreon.
Yep. Join us over there. It's always a bit of extra content every week. Mm. We have a lot of fun on that show, the sister show to this podcast.
Yes.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next week. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
just to remind you, whoever the studio is making Skatebird, Flony Hawks Crow Skatebirding
2,
but instead of 2, say Bird Poo or something. Think of it. You can do, but like more birds.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.